SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, Sports Grid TV. 1 hour show today, 12 to 1 Eastern. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We got a lot to cover here on the show. Of course, lots of baseball news actually happening today. Who would have thought that? Not being back on the field, but news about a Hall of Famer stepping down as CEO of the Miami Marlins. We got that covered for you, of course, here on the show. Davis, naturally, we'll get into some NBA. We'll get into some fantasy baseball as well. We got fantasy reality and the Sports Grid 60. But Davis, pretty big story to start the day here, as broken by yours truly, is Derek Jeter, after several years of getting a little piece of ownership stake in the Marlins and CEO of the Marlins, has agreed to mutually part ways with the organization. And so, you know, naturally, a lot of people are asking me what's going on, and there's a lot of scrambling, I would think, to sort of figure out this story. But sometimes it just goes to show you that, in my opinion here, Davis, I guess we could start with that, is that just because you are one of the best players of all time in your sport doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a long career running an organization. And I think that's probably the best way that I would start this here today.
Yeah, I mean, look, we see this happen all the time. Former players come in, and that whether it be in a front office role, whether it be in a coaching position, and some former players are very good at it. Some of them take to it right away, and some former players are not. You know, they feel a little bit out of their depth, or they're just, you know, they don't have the interpersonal skills needed, or they don't have, you know, the analytical skills needed. So I guess my question is, why is this happening right now? You know, why was this not something that took place 3 months ago? Why did they not wait for the lockout to end? You know, just what the timing of this does seem a little bizarre to me.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It's not one that I exactly know. What I could tell you is that I had no idea. Okay, let me step back here. Derek Jeter, Davis, was on the final year of his 5-year contract with the Marlins. So essentially, his deal was up as CEO at the end of this year. I believe it was November, at the end of the baseball season, if I'm not mistaken. So I really wasn't sure as to whether or not this marriage with him as CEO would last beyond that, but I didn't have any indication that today was the day. Like, that I did not know. But about a little bit over, I guess it was close to like an hour ago, you know, obviously you have sources and you trust people, I started to get an inkling that this was going to happen. Naturally, you know, you got to double check. You got to make sure all these things are accurate. But, you know, Davis, I think it comes down to, you know, some of this is just basically wanting to go in a new direction. And when you want to do that, I suppose you do it immediately and you don't wait. When you know something is you believe is broken, you want to fix it. And I'm not really entirely sure how much of this is Derek wanting to leave as opposed to the ownership wanting Derek to leave. That I'm not completely sure on. But I can tell you that if you consider that right before the lockout happened, the Marlins, Davis, they traded for Jacob Stallings. They signed Avisail Garcia to a 4-year contract, close to $50 million. And Derek Jeter was making these moves. You know, I mean, Kim Ng is the GM, but let's be honest, she has to go to Derek Jeter to get these right deals done. He's the one that's making those decisions. So why would they allow, would the Marlins and the ownership group allow him to make those decisions and then a couple of months later basically say, okay, those decisions are no longer, you know, they don't really matter anymore because we're going to go in a different direction? Yes, I think that is sort of the perplexing question that I think everybody would have today as we welcome in our radio audience to Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. But I can tell you that I believe that the Marlins are going to have somebody else running this entire organization. Kim Ng will be their general manager, but I believe that somebody else will be above her, and I believe somebody else will be running this entire operation, in my opinion. And we'll have to see where it goes, Davis. But, you know, certainly when you look at the past, I think that you mentioned it. And the one thing that does come to mind for me is Michael Jordan. Like, it does sort of feel the same way, Davis, like with Michael Jordan running Charlotte. Like, Did you see the success? Did you see something happen? Right. Are there tangible things that happen? And look, Derek hired Kim Eng, the first female general manager. Fantastic. He, you know, basically spearheaded the idea of they needed to get better in international scouting, and they built a place in the Dominican Republic that's going to help them a lot in international scouting. But in the end, Davis, were more people going to Marlins games? Were more people buying season tickets? Do you feel personally right now that their odds should be any better than 30-1 to win the National League? I don't think you do. And so, I mean, we're almost 5 years in, and I think that's sort of the way it goes.
I think you're right. Now, I do wonder, is there a chance that, you know, what will happen with this news is the Marlins will reinvent themselves as one of these Moneyball organizations, you know, smaller market, they don't make a ton of money, you know, just all that stuff. Like, it does seem like a market that would be primed to, you know, hiring some Wharton Business School guy to crunch all the numbers and everything. And, I don't know, but that is one of the things that I thought immediately.
Yeah, if I had to guess, of all the things that you've said on the show to me, I think that you're probably most spot on with that. I do think that that is the direction that they will go. I think that they will go, you know, got to find somebody in another organization that has won, you know, in the Tampa Bay Rays style. And I do think that that, you know, to me is something that's coming, in my opinion. All right, we'll take a quick break here on the show. We're off and running here on this Monday with some breaking news. Derek Jeter and the Miami Marlins have parted ways. And coming up next, we dive into some NBA DraftKings style. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports with Craig Nish, along with David Panic. We pivot away from baseball for just a couple of minutes to help you out with, I believe, what most of you are probably interested in tonight, Davis, the NBA. And let's get to our DFS slate tonight. Obviously, we got some players to go through. I would tell you, coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about it. I personally thought having the NBA back over the last 4 days and not having baseball was really my cure. Like, I really enjoyed watching a lot of those games yesterday. And watching Philadelphia and New York was fun to watch as well. So I'm looking forward to get your opinions on tonight's slate. How's it looking?
Yeah, you know, it has been good. We got to see James Harden play with his new team. We got, you know, the press conference with Harden and Embiid. Embiid shot 27 free throws in that game. I mean, it is pretty much watching one James Harden, Joel Embiid pick and roll, and I was like, yeah, it makes sense why they made that trade, because that is it's the same thing really as the you know, the Steph Curry, Kevin Durant pick and roll. It's just like you can't defend that, right? Because you can't go under on James Harden. You can't let Embiid get the ball, you know, going to the rim with the head of steam. I mean, it's very interesting. But yeah, we have seven games tonight. We do have some injuries that we are going to be dealing with. Of course, we're still dealing with the skeleton crew Brooklyn Nets, because they are playing at home against the Toronto Raptors. Oklahoma City is missing a couple guys. Darius Garland remains out for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Caris LeVert is out for them as well. And Kyle Lowry is going to be missing time for the Miami Heat, which will open up their rotation a little bit.
All right, so let's take a look at your lineup tonight. And an old friend showing up in the lineup for the Brooklyn Nets. We'll see what's going on with Kyrie Irving and that whole situation. I feel like we're going to see Kyrie Irving back playing games in New York this month, meaning next month. I guess tomorrow that counts. But for now, let's take advantage of the situation that we have here. We have Goran Dragic, 4,200 tonight. I think this is our first mention of Dragic all fantasy basketball season. Trey Mann, 5,400. Aaron Wiggins is 3,600. DeMar DeRozan, is he like the Cooper Kupp right now of fantasy? 10,200, and for good reason. You got to get him in every lineup. And then Domantas Sabonis tonight is 9,500. So, Davis, they take baseball away from me, and that forces me to watch a little bit more NBA. So I see what's going on here. I'm ready to plug and play. Let's break it down tonight.
Yep. So I'm not 100% confident, but I would think that Goran Dragic is either going to get a chance to start in this first game without Kyrie Irving. He played 14 minutes off the bench for them. It was the first game he had played in since November, and he had actually started a couple games for the Raptors when they were dealing with all their crazy COVID stuff. Now, he might not start. He might come off the bench behind Seth Curry or Cameron Thomas, but it's a little bit of a revenge spot here for Dragic. Of course, remember, he was on the Raptors earlier this season, and I think we should get at least 28 minutes of him. Oklahoma City, they do have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander back, and he was phenomenal the other night against the Pacers, 36-8-5, but they are without Josh Giddey, they are without Ty Jerome, and they are without Lu Dort and Kenrick Williams. Their rotation's pretty thin. So Trey Mann, he's going to see 30, 34 minutes. He's actually been quite good since he has been introduced into the starting lineup. Aaron Wiggins has not been as good, played 31 minutes the other night against the Pacers. Only 13 DraftKings points, but he is quite cheap sitting there at 3,600. And you know what? I think you're right. You do make a great comparison there between Cooper Kupp and DeMar DeRozan, because they're both guys who have been good and useful players for their NBA teams in the past, right? You know, DeRozan was a great Spur. DeRozan was a great Raptor. But never, he's never played like this, right? I mean, never even close. And he's probably going to finish fourth in MVP voting. He might even actually, because some voters don't understand how good Nikola Jokic is, he actually might finish third in MVP voting if the Bulls hang on to a top two seed. He has scored over 30 actual points in every game since February 3rd for his team. Just unbelievable shooting. He's been so good on offense. And, it'll be interesting to see what Miami does with him on defense. And I would assume they probably stick Butler on him, but you don't really want Butler chasing DeRozan around screens for 40 minutes. So then, you know, do we ship PJ Tucker in there? It gets pretty weird. So I don't envy Eric Spoelstra's decision with that tonight. And then Sabonis has been very good ever since being traded to the Kings. I do think he is relishing this role of, you know, we're not very good. They traded all this stuff for me. It's just my job to go out and get buckets. And this is also a little bit of a revenge for him playing against his old team, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. And you're right. The Heat had a big lead, I believe, on San Antonio, if I'm not mistaken, let them all the way come back into the game. Their defense has been trouble. So really love that spot that you mentioned tonight for him. Okay, let's take a look at some of the additional players that you got in your lineup tonight. Speaking of which, we got Tyler Hero, 6,300 tonight. O'Shea Brissett is 5,900. And then Davis tonight in your flex spot, you are going to insert Mo Bamba at 4,700 tonight. So that sets us up tonight for DraftKings. Let's go through the final three.
Yeah, these young Orlando Magic big men, I'm always pretty interested in them. So they have a bunch of guys out. Mo Wagner's out. Bol Bol is out. Jonathan Isaac, of course, is not playing. And they're kind of splitting up those minutes between Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. Robin Lopez gets in there every once in a while. He'll play one rotation or so if Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. are not playing well. But I'm just a big Mo Bamba guy. He is a good fantasy points per minute producer. And if you happen to run into one of those games where he's playing very well, the Magic will extend his minutes a little bit. He can get up to around 30 minutes or so. On the other side of that game, the replacements for Domantas Sabonis, they haven't necessarily done a great job helping the Pacers win. But O'Shea Brissett and Isaiah Jackson have been very good fantasy producers in the time that since he's been traded. Brissett has been the one who's been the best because he doesn't get in foul trouble. Isaiah Jackson has found himself in foul trouble in quite a number of these games, so really like Brissett. And then pretty much any time that Jimmy Butler or Tyler here, anytime Jimmy Butler or Kyle Lowry is out, I'm going to plug in Tyler Hero. He's going to get 33, 34 minutes. He's going to take 18 shots. If he makes 50% of his shots, he's going to be good. And if he makes a little bit less than that, he's going to struggle a little bit. But we all know here, this is a very pro Tyler Hero show, Fantasy Sports Today.
Yeah, well, in the market watching this show today probably will be happy for you saying that. What do you think when the Nets, by the way, get right? I know we're going to hit on Philly later in the show. When the Nets get right and all the players that they have play, I feel like, Davis, this weekend so much of the emphasis is on Philadelphia. People forget how good Durant is. People forget what Ben Simmons can be. And, you know, maybe in terms of odds, I still think there's a little bit of a sleeper in me. Like, people just don't forget how good Brooklyn can be. And they added Dragic. I know he's like a fill-in guy for now, but they get Kyrie back. They get Ben Simmons. They get Durant. I feel like we're going to be having a different conversation, whenever that is, maybe 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks, whatever.
No, I mean, I think you are, you just could not be any more correct. The Nets, if fully healthy, they've got to be considered the best team in the NBA, mostly just because Durant is so good. I mean, there is a reason that they have, do they even have a losing record now? They might be pretty close to having a losing record, and they're still sitting at 5.5 or 6-1 to win the NBA championship because Kyrie, Simmons, Durant, and then all these extra pieces that they picked up, right? Because this is the same thing that happened in Golden State, right? Every veteran is going to Brooklyn, right? They just, every veteran who gets bought out or doesn't want to play with their team anymore, they just all go to Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Later in the show, we're going to dive into that in fantasy reality. Maybe Davis will pick Brooklyn's side. Philadelphia getting all of the run this weekend. And we'll hear from James Harden a little bit later in the show as well. All right, the NFBC Fantasy Baseball Draft. Will we have a baseball season with 162 games? I don't know the answer to that, but fantasy baseball does roll on here on this show. So coming up next, we'll play Too High, Too Low with some NFBC Draft ATP. So stay on the waves, and I'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio on SportsGrid. Craig Nick along with David Madison here on the show. We got plenty to cover up until 1 o'clock Eastern. Now, Davis, I don't know if you were following this weekend, but the only action that we've been seeing coming from baseball, and I know we both were hopeful at this point that we'd have some baseball in the field, but the only action we see, are players in Jupiter, Florida, not far from me, walking in and out of the St. Louis Cardinals facility, and some owners walking back and forth, in the St. Louis Cardinals. So maybe we should do the ADP of like the owner speed going back and forth, the player speed walking back and forth to cars, because I got to tell you, I am like sick of it, man. Like I am just ready for this. I want baseball. I mean, my gosh, more than anybody does, but I just can't take any more of this, man. 7 straight days without a deal being done. I am hopeful today is the day.
I am also hopeful that today is the day, but I think the owners are kind of in a dangerous spot because, look, people are already, less enthused with baseball than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and taking games away, I think is not great by them. And also, I think that we are in a different, political, socioeconomic climate these days where I think, again, 20 years ago, the general, John Q. Public, much more likely to side with the owners than the average fan of the game would be these days, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other part of it, too, is that I think if you want to go back to, like, 94, 95, you just had both sides speaking all day and, like, doing these random press conferences that would air. And, Davis, think about how long ago that was, that those would air on, like, the 6 o'clock news. Like, remember when that was a big deal, like, the 11 o'clock news? Now every second we get information about this stuff. Some of it's leaked, some of it comes out publicly, but, I've had enough. I'm ready for spring training to start. I'm ready for us to really have some real teams, some fantasy teams to play with this year. Regardless of that, we'll let my frustration ruin this moment. Let's go to some ADP. And speaking of the Cardinals side, Paul Goldschmidt, who is working out, somebody told me in Jupiter, so he's already there. Look, one of the better hitters over the last decade, Davis, there's some talk about him maybe in the Hall of Fame one day in baseball. Why not? I mean, look at his OBP last year, 365 OBP. 31 home runs, 99 runs driven in. You know what was cool about Goldschmidt? The steals came back last year. He stole 12 bases for the Cardinals. Remember, this is a guy that can steal 20. And he's basically had, Davis, like those kind of uneven starts and uneven finishes to his season. Like he has these gaps in his season over the last few that like he doesn't hit for like a month and he comes back and he hits for the rest of the year. You like have to kind of get through that to get through his whole year. His ADP is back up where it used to be. He's a 4th round pick. 50 overall, 50.32. Too high, too low, just right.
Yeah, I mean, that was the stolen bases is really what separates him from sort of the morass at first base, right? I mean, we can all find a first baseman who will hit 25 home runs. Like the thing that separates Paul Goldschmidt and Luke Voit is, I mean, one, Goldschmidt is not getting platooned at all. You know, Voit, you know, he'll get 500 plate appearances. Goldschmidt's going to get 630 probably. But the stolen bases are huge. And between 2018 and 2020, Paul Goldschmidt stole 11 stolen bases and over 1,400 plate appearances, actually 1,600 plate appearances. And then he stole 12 bases last year in 679. He also hit 294. He's almost a career 300 hitter. That's huge, right? So you're not sacrificing any batting average to get those steals. That is one of the things that you, if you play fantasy baseball, pretty much the guys who provide steals are going to crush you, and either they're going to have no power, you know, a la D. Gordon, or they're going to have no batting average, you know, guys like Billy Hamilton and stuff like that. So I have to say I'm in. You know, if we can give Paul Goldschmidt 30 home runs, 90 runs, 90 RBIs, and a chance at 15 stolen bases, even if it's only 10 stolen bases in the end, but even the chance right at 15 or more, I got to say I'm in.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Davis, is that the Cardinals, as you know, even though it was very hard for them to sign free agents, they're not afraid to make trades and bring other players in that could even boost some of his numbers. He already has Nolan Arenado, obviously, behind him. Tyler O'Neill's another guy that gets on base that hits home runs. So, look, all systems go for Goldschmidt, one of the few players that's talked about right now for his age that people think has a chance for the Hall of Fame, which is kind of cool. Okay, let's go over to the pitching market here. Let me give you a player who, Davis, I am completely wrong on. Like, as wrong could be. Kevin Gausman, who signed in the offseason with the Toronto Blue Jays, was just a monster last year. 2.81 earned run average, 227 strikeouts with the Giants at a 1.042 whip. Davis, when he pitched with Baltimore, I was like out. I was like, this guy is never going to be good. He gives up too many home runs. I mean, he would have these starts. He'd throw two innings. Davis, he'd give up seven runs, you know? Like, he and Dylan Bundy were in that same category for me. Bundy went on, had a good year with the Angels, and then, you know, I think he kind of fell off last year. But Gausman got a massive contract. The Blue Jays are going to put him as either their number one or number two starter to start off next season. They have World Series aspirations. And Gausman right now's ADP is 67.34. So, Davis, you may ask yourself, why is it 67.34? I think some people have the same feeling as me. They don't want to believe.
No, you are 100% correct. They don't want to believe. And you know what? I don't believe either. I was a Gausman guy last year. I've kind of always been a Gausman guy, but you were always getting the right pod odds on him, you know, especially like the last three seasons, right? You know, because he's coming off of like an ERA in the fives in 2019. He did get pretty lucky in 2018, though he only pitched 180 innings there. So I'm out. And the reason why I'm out is Gausman is always going to do well in environments that limit home runs. That's his big problem. He gives up lots of home runs. He gives up lots of fly balls. That totally works in the NL West when you're pitching for the Giants. I mean, other than Coors Field, you're getting half your games at basically the hardest home run park in baseball. You're getting a pitch at Petco. You're getting a pitch at the Dodger Stadium. All these places where home runs, you know, just do not fly out. Now he's going back to where he was getting shelled to begin with. He's going back to the AL East. He's going back to Camden. They even moved the fence, or not to Camden, but to Rogers Center. And you know, they move the fence in Camden Yards, and Rogers Center is this great home run park. So I cannot justify this price on Gausman.
Yeah, I don't, something's still off with me with him. And I know people point, what people point to, Davis, is are all of these Orioles pitchers who leave and then have some success. Yeah, like Arrieta is another one of those too. Remember, he went to the Cubs, he left Baltimore. I mentioned Bundy. But I don't know. I feel like Toronto, you know what they should have done, Davis? I think they should have kept Robbie Ray. I think they should have kept Robbie
Ray.
Of
course.
And they went with Gausman, and Ray left, went to Seattle. Okay, now we haven't talked closers at all. And I'm noticing that in some of the expert leagues that are going on right now that are not best ball format, that most people are smart enough not to take closers. It seems like they're dipping. But in this format, in the best ball, in the NFBC, Davis, these closers are being pushed up so high, and this ADP is going to be wrong on Chapman by next week. Aroldis Chapman is ADP 82.89 in the NFBC. And honestly, I think in the, if I'm not mistaken, in the Razzlam, he went a lot higher than this. And he saved 30 games last year. We're starting to see Chapman fade a little bit. Let's be honest. This guy has he been the best? I mean, I guess Kenley Jansen's probably been the best closer of the last decade, but if not, it's been Chapman, right? He's been number two. So I don't know if this conversation leads me to ask you more about closers or more about Chapman, but I guess we can touch on both here.
No, I mean, you're right that the closer ADP is insane right now. And it's super insane right now because what? I mean, 10 teams have a locked on closer 100% for sure, given that we haven't seen free agency play out. We don't know what guys are doing in spring training. We have no beat writer reporting. We have no managers saying this, you know, we're going to give this guy a chance. We have, you know, more teams than ever actually platooning their closers, you know, bringing in lefties when they need it, having two guys that they trust in that situation. And then the other thing is, I mean, Chapman does give you what you need. Right. I mean, he's going to help your ratios. He had a 40% K rate last year. He had 30 saves, 56 innings pitched. I mean, he did walk more guys last year than in any season of his career. So maybe he is losing it ever so slightly. But it's just not the way I play fantasy baseball. You know, I'm not spending this price. I'm fine with it in a vacuum because you're going to get such insane ratios out of him. But I am not personally going to be paying this price.
Yeah, and me too. You know, I think that in the Raz Slam, the two closers that I took were much, I think it was like 15th round or something like that. The guy who I'm very in on this year, and when we get to that point, I guess, but there's a kid on the Giants named Camilo Doval, who, Jake McGee, I guess, is the Giants closer, I guess, to start the season. But I got to tell you, this Doval, right-handed pitcher, throws heat. I want to get the guy who only had five or six saves last year, and projects that he's only going to get 10 or 15. But by the time the season starts, you know what happens. April, the first 2 weeks in April, or if that's when the season starts, Davis, everybody is watching for failure the first 2 weeks of the season. It's so magnified for all of us, fantasy, reality. And managers are just so much quicker for some reason in the first 2 weeks to pull their closers, right? Like once they blow two saves, they're like, oh, that's it. You know, ruining the season. Everybody sees it. And so those are the kind of guys that I've been targeting. I think Emmanuel Class A also on Cleveland is the other one that I took, but story for another day. Coming up next, it's time for us to hit on some fantasy or reality. How did James Harden feel when everyone was out there talking a lot of noise about Harden doesn't want to play in Brooklyn, he didn't want to play in Houston, doesn't want to play Oklahoma City? Does Harden care about these comments by the media and the fans? He answers that question next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Day here on Sports Grid. We've got Brad Levy standing by with a little fantasy or reality, so stay on the grid for that. We've got Kevin and Donnie coming up 1 o'clock Eastern, Scott Farrell 3 o'clock Eastern. I have a feeling I'll probably be on somebody else's show before the end of the day. But before we do any of that, let's get to the top story in sports yesterday. It had to be from a fantasy perspective, James Harden and his performance against the Philadelphia 76ers. Why is it that the second that James Harden goes to a new team, he immediately looks like the guy that's going to be a basketball Hall of Famer? But nonetheless, what's been going on with him over the last couple of months is shows like ours have been sort of trashing Harden a little bit for the way that he kind of got himself out of Brooklyn. And Harden was asked, does he care about what the media and fans think?
I don't care what people say. I honestly don't care at all what people say. I know how skilled and the work that I put in to be one of the best basketball players. Like, nothing was given to me. I wasn't, you know, one of the best basketball players growing up. I had to work every single day to be in the position that I am today. So there's nothing that somebody can tell me about my game. You know, I put the work in, I go out there, produce, and I try to be the best teammate that I can be every single night. Simple as that.
Is it just as simple as that? Are the 76ers now on the rise? Let's turn it over to Brett Levy as we begin our subjects today. And that's the first one with Fantasy or Reality.
All right, guys. Yeah, well, the Philadelphia 76ers have made a lot of noise over the last few days, playing really good basketball and shooting a lot of free throws along the way. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The Philadelphia 76ers are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I'm going to say they are. And it's not a popular opinion. The market does not agree with me. The market has the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks ahead of them. But I think the Philadelphia 76ers are the team to beat. And I think this is true for two reasons. So the first is Joel Embiid is playing the best basketball of anyone in the league other than Nikola Jokic. And to be fair to Joel Embiid, he is a better defender than Nikola Jokic. You know, all that stuff does show up in the advanced metrics, and Jokic is a far better defender than people give him credit for, but Embiid is the best. I mean, he is the best interior perimeter defender available in the NBA right now, especially because he can switch, right? I mean, you can switch Joel Embiid out on whatever guard you want, and he is going to make that guard's life difficult too. And you're never scoring on him in the post. The second is that Harden, because of all the failures of the Houston Rockets in the playoffs, we always give the, I mean, he's, and to be fair, he's just been very bad in the playoffs. James Harden has never had a good elimination game in the NBA playoffs. So maybe I'm overlooking that. But also, despite giving up all that stuff in the trade, the 76ers are still very deep, right? And I think that the smartest thing they did was when Ben Simmons says, you know what, I'm not coming into camp, not feeling it, not showing up. I think a normal NBA team trades for a veteran point guard. You know, they trade for George Hill. They trade for Goran Dragic, right, who we were just talking about. And the 76ers said, nope, we have Tyrese Maxey. He's 22. He's good. He's going to play 35 minutes a night. And he did. And Maxey has been unbelievable. I mean, he has learned and grown so much starting, and I think that's been huge for them. Matisse Thybulle, amazing perimeter defender. I do think, and they have more time to gel, right? That's also the huge thing is the Nets guys aren't even back playing yet. So they have more time to figure it out. So I'm saying reality.
Can't believe some Durant slander from Davis Maddock, a first in years here on this show. My gosh.
It's not about Durant. It's not about Durant.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know. I'm not living in that moment from yesterday. I got fantasy. I still think it is Brooklyn. I watched Durant single-handedly. Let me say that again.
He's so
single-handedly
good.
Carry Brooklyn last year with a first-year head coach and Steve Nash and almost took them all the way. I'm sorry. I cannot believe that once Ben Simmons is right and Kevin Durant gets going, they got Kyrie Irving on the floor at the same time. We'll be asking this. Brett will be asking this question. Not the 8th. They said that Simmons won't play in Philadelphia for his debut, but somewhere around March 10th, March 15th, I think we're going to be asking ourselves the same question about the Brooklyn Nets. So team to beat in the NBA, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the West doesn't seem all that formidable to me. I'm going to say no to Philly, and I'm going to say yes to Brooklyn, and I don't think that Philly's the team to beat overall either, so I'm not going to live in that Sunday afternoon game, although it was entertaining. I will give it that. So fantasy for me.
All right. Well, our next question goes over to the NCAA because it was announced yesterday that they are lessening their marijuana penalties. Most famously, their marijuana penalties affected Tyrann Mathieu, who was obviously an all-SEC defender at LSU and then missed his final season at LSU dealing with some marijuana issues. So they're going to make it harder to fail a drug test, and they're going to loosen up the penalties a little bit. Craig, our question for you is, the NCAA lessening the marijuana penalties is a big deal. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Oh, no, this is not a big deal. Guys are doing it anyway, finding ways to get around it. And I mean, it is legal in so many states at this point. I mean, it's basically ceremonial, to be honest with you, at this point. Look, I think that on professional sports teams and collegiate sports teams, you're probably going to find, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, Davis, but I think you're going to find above 10%. I'll just use that. Above 10% of the players that are probably using marijuana. And again, at this stage where states have it being legal, the NCAA is just basically coming in and following suit. Now, this would have been a big deal, Davis, had the NCAA done this before it was legal in some of these states, because then I would have said, yeah, this is a really big deal. But no, this isn't. Guys are using it. I mean, I can't speak one way or the other in terms of medicals, in terms of long-term effects one way or the other from it, but I have yet to see anything that is significantly detrimental to the recreational use of this, at least from my view and from my eyes. So I'm going to say this is not a big deal. Would have been a big deal 5 years ago. Right now, fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, per usual, the NCAA 4 to 5 years behind the trend. Although I'm pretty sure I live in a state where recreational use is illegal. Like, I know we have medical cards and stuff here in Missouri, but of course, I think that now makes Missouri the minority. I believe recreational marijuana is legal in more states than it is illegal. I might need Brett to fact check me on this one, but I mean, you know, big deal in terms of the time we live in now. No big deal in terms of, like, you know, society and how we view these things. I mean, certainly recreational marijuana should be legal everywhere. Recreational, you know, the drinking of alcohol is. So I'll say it's not really a big deal, but I certainly hope I never have to worry about a college player being suspended for smoking weed ever again, because it's not 1963 anymore.
No, but still, there are a lot of people who view it that way. So I don't know that view, Davis, will change anytime soon, but I'm with you on that.
All right. Well, our last one, and we usually go to celebrity news here or some sort of entertainment news. This one's kind of entertainment news, as Christina Hack, who I'm not very familiar with, but my fiance was, is a HGTV reality TV star or something. She did some goat yoga over the weekend. Unfortunately, we don't have a picture of her, but we do have a picture of goat yoga. So, Davis, I'll start with you for this one. You would try goat yoga. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, absolutely. All of these wellness crazes, you know, self-improvement, I've done all of them, right? I've done the Bikram yoga. I've done, you know, all the meditation apps, all the intermittent fasting and all of that. I am, I am like the target market for these crazes, for these self-help fads. It's just always something that I have been into. Now, I don't get the premise of what it is. Although goats, I mean, they're just cute little furry animals, you know, like, I'm sure it's a fun time. Though I'm assuming that this is, you know, some ancient practice from the mountains of Nepal or something, and they're, you know, this is like a thing that, you know, white people here in the United States, the Western world, are co-opting to make a quick buck. But yeah, absolutely. I would do this. I would try this. I would do it, Craig.
Yeah. Zero chance. I mean, like, I don't even know. I mean, less than zero chance. Like, that, is that the actual picture of this, what's going down here? You put a goat on your back, and this is somehow supposed to make you feel good? Like, no. There is no way that this is happening. I feel like I'm more progressive for my age. I'm 48 years old, but I mean, look, my exercise is limited, essentially, to 30 minutes, running at a decent speed. I don't even know what a decent speed is anymore. On a treadmill, getting exercise, watching recaps of the NBA games on YouTube, and preparing for the show every single morning. That's it. There's nothing. Oh, by the way, Little League Baseball coaching, running around. I ran the bases this weekend. We did some outs, you know, runners on base, how to project that. But a goat on the back, Davis, if you end up doing this, we got to have a picture of it. We got to have something that we can use here for informational purposes on the show, because while you are very active on social media, I don't tend to see a lot of pictures being posted from you, if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm missing something with you on Instagram or somewhere else. I want the picture of the goat, if that's how it's done, on the back. I refuse to believe that's actually how it's done.
Look, I will try it. I have a result here from stlouismagazine.com that says that there is somewhere that I can do this relatively close to my house. So it's across the border over in Illinois. It's a farm. And I mean, I'm just reading very quick here, but I think it is exactly what it looks like, which is basically you go do yoga outside and some baby goats kind of just hop around and do it with you, which, I mean, look, what if it was puppy yoga? What if it was doing yoga with a bunch? I mean, it's basically the same concept here, which is like, you're just hanging out with some cute animals.
But they're on your back in this picture here. Like that's the one that Brett picked. I mean, is that part of the equation, or did he just grab a picture of a goat on somebody's back? Like I'm sorry, Davis, I'm going to be 50 years old, bro. I am not having animals jump up and down on my back for recreational purposes.
Think of how good that'll be. You brace your core to hold the animal up. I mean, that'll be so good for your back.
No, it is not. I'll tell you what, if there's no baseball, and we have to keep talking about this kind of stuff in April, it could become mandatory for maybe even a video that we could post here on the show. I know Brett would never do this. No chance.
I'll do it. I will do it. Put it on the record. I will do it.
All right. Fair enough. All right. We got to take a break mercifully here on our Monday edition of the show. It's been a busy one. We had some breaking news at the top. We got some NBA discussion. And coming up next, we got the Sports Grid 60. What is that? If you're just tuning in for the first time, 60 seconds of commentary on something. You would imagine you know what I'm going to be talking about, but we'll see what Davis is talking about when we come back next. And of course, plenty more here as we go on Sports Grid today. So stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On Twitter at SportsGrid and at Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, breaking news, and everything that we're talking about here on our channel. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Davis Maddock because he has today's edition of the Sports Grid 60.
So we have an update. FIFA and UEFA have banned not only Russia itself from participating in the 2022 World Cup, but also all Russian teams are not allowed to participate in those events, which might not sound like that big deal, but that's basically how soccer teams make money. Who owns soccer teams in Russia? Very, very, very rich people. In fact, Gazprom, the big energy supplier, owns some of those teams. And it is the funniest thing about this, though, is it's very rich for FIFA to try and be on the right side of history, considering all the stuff going on there. But very big news, as these larger geopolitical things do influence our sporting world every now and then.
Yeah, no, they do. And boy, very, very tough to watch that happening all weekend long, I will say. All right. So naturally, the big sports story of the day is something in my wheelhouse, the story that I broke with Derek Jeter and the Marlins parting ways. There's going to be a lot of speculation, and I'm going to have to clear up a lot of the misconceptions as to what happened, why all this went down, and some of the things that were surrounding it. But in the end, the lesson is probably the lesson that we've learned for a long time. Just because you're a great player, and arguably Derek Jeter, one of the best players in baseball history, does not necessarily mean that you're going to be great at running a Major League Baseball organization. As the Marlins enter their fifth year of him being the CEO of the team, they're basically not on pace to win more than like 75 games. So how long was it going to take? I don't know the answer to that, but Michael Jordan, John Elway, we've seen these people in the past. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. But in general, one does not necessarily correlate with the other. I think that's what happened here. That'll do for the show. Thanks, of course, to LTN. Thank you to Danny and